I feel like we just need
in
this
the background?
In the background.
No, we're not doing that.
What podcast you know does that?
No.
The set list.
The set list does it, and it makes my life miserable.
It's all your fault, buddy. It's all your fault.
I'm happy to do it only for you. In 2 months, we can talk about this.
You're right.
In 2 months, we can talk about this.
All right, cool. Let's go on to the next thing. Yo, this side B.
How you just go?
Because I got it like that.
Please go.
Side B. I'm here with my man Dan, my man Dave, my man Adon.
What up?
Adon, Dan, and Dave.
Yeah. So
we in this thing.
There we go. We in this thing. All right, so check this out. The Oscars. Nobody cares about the Oscars but old white folk and and liberal white actors. So.
Yeah, that's so. I know. Were you just trying to kill this entire bonus track?
All right, let me start all over.
You just Kanye'd all over this track.
Yeah, I did. Let me start all over. Yo, all right, here we go. Side B, y'all. We're about to give you some bonus material for this particular podcast. I am back in the studio with Adon, Dave, and Dan. And we are here to talk Oscar nominations and yada yada. Did the Oscars happen?
No. Okay. You would have known about it.
Yeah, so the February. Oscar nominations, all right? And we know Chris Rock, your boy, David's favorite comedian.
Second favorite.
Yeah. Is hosting. He'll be the only black person in the building.
Somebody got to park the car.
Don Cheadle said he would. You see that tweet?
You know what he said?
Don Cheadle hit up Chris Rock on Twitter and said, "Hey, man, I'm going to be parking cars in double G."
Oh, that's so good.
Yes.
Bang at me
there. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see Jada Pinkett's post?
I saw of it. I don't know. She's talking about boycotting.
No, she didn't necessarily say boycott. She just said we need to stop expecting the Academy to honor black folk.
Yeah. I'm just asking the question.
she got that fake deep going.
She did.
Hey, man, y'all leave Jada alone.
No, she is beautiful for like a 90-year-old. And I'm like, yo, I hope my wife is that fine when she's like 70.
Right. Jada.
But she do get that little fake deep about her. Like, you know, just like that.
Will do too, though.
It's a bit Iyanla.
It is that Zan Zan.
Every now and then she'll hit. But Will will do that too. He'll say something, he'll be like, "You could have said that differently." But I get what you're saying.
I do. So basically what she was saying is like, "Hey, the Academy is the Academy, and they have the right to do what they want to do." Mm-hmm. I think we as black actors and entertainers, we got to start figuring out how to create our own avenues and lanes and institutions to honor us.
Yeah. What movie was she last in?
I don't know.
Magic Mike. Yeah,
that was. We're not gonna hate on Jada.
Hashtag Magic Mike for an Oscar.
But she has an eternal pass for
Different world.
Different world.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Thought you were about to say Low Down Dirty Shame. I was like,
that too. Shame.
But no, but I think what you're saying, Dan, is important because, right, like she was in what, Magic Mike? Was it, I don't know, whatever one that was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But part of that has to do with roles. Mm-hmm. And that's the serious thing that I think is part of it, is that like black actors and actresses get penalized unknowingly by not having roles made available to them. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, part of the Oscar nominations thing is like, you can't get nominated for a role that doesn't exist.
Who said that? Somebody said that last time.
Really?
But
that's my whole thing. So like people were like, who are like, well, you know, with Michael B. Jordan not getting a nomination, or Idris Elba or whomever, right? The argument is always just like, well, you know, you just kind of have to wait it out. The Academy voters are older white men and blah, 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 blah. Like you look at Leonardo DiCaprio, right? That's what they always say, because he's still, you know, this is probably be his year likely. Right. But like the thing is that Leo had these options available to him.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's roles that he will be considered for
every year. He has
every
options.
Year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And he chose the beach.
Right. But like, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. No, I say that straight up.
Yeah,
like,
he chose
like
the
that
beach.
Was a daring thing because he had that option available to him. A lot of young black actors, whoever it be, Michael B. Jordan or people who came before him, you know, Mekhi Phifer, Omar, like whoever it is, they don't always have the same availability.
And if they do have an opportunity to choose the beach, and they bomb.
They done.
They're done. There's
no. That's why Michael B. Jordan is amazing to me, because he did Fantastic. We forgot about Fantastic Four.
He did.
Well, the worst of worst movies.
Well, no, because he did Fruitvale Station before that, and so. And but even still, white folks love him because he was Wallace too. So you know, and well, you know
he did to Wallace. He's made a lot of. He made a lot of very interesting the career Wire moves. Kept him. No, because honestly, not Friday Night Lights. He did the third and fourth season of Friday Night Lights. He did Parenthood. You see what I'm saying? Like, he made a lot of different strategic moves that kept him in place where it was like... And he did a romantic comedy with Zac Efron and the dude who was the drummer in that movie.
That's
right.
Miles Teller.
Yeah, he made a lot of...
He did a couple movies. He did The Chronicles. He did... So he did...
What I'm... But I'm just saying he wasted a lot of Hollywood money and we don't normally get to come back from that.
No. Normally, like, he made a... Everybody wants to do that superhero. Like, people want to do that film where they feel like this can be something amazing.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree with
franchise.
That.
It could be a franchise. It can take me to that, like, Iron Man money that Robert
Okay, Jr. but here's but the question
saying,
I want
to
ask.
The only reason why I say that, let me say this real quick. The only reason why I say that is because if you waste Hollywood money and you black, like, what happened to Wesley?
Snipes?
Yeah.
Tax problems.
No, yes.
Yeah, he converted to a crazy religion.
All right, but I'm based just saying, here in Atlanta. After Blade, right? Mm-hmm. What happened to Wesley?
Didn't he do Blade 2? Isn't there?
Yeah, like
what
like
I'm saying
Blade,
is they kept
Blade
letting
trilogy.
Him make. I know, but I'm saying, like, I don't know. They don't know me come back.
But Demolition Man, like, he's Wesley had a run.
Yeah, Wesley was killing it.
Like, Wesley's not
a
great example.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay, but
go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is a question I want to ask. Do you believe that Michael B. Jordan should have been nominated for Best Actor in Creed? Did everyone see the movie?
I did not see Creed.
I did.
Okay. Do you think that he should have been nominated for Best Actor?
Best Actor is how many slots? 4 or 5?
I think it's 5.
If it's 5, and this is my only push, my only like clarifying is that I always say Oscars is determined by the year, right? It's not so much how great the performance is; it's the competition.
Right.
So I need to look and see who else was up for that, you know, who else is nominated. It's very possible that he's not for that role, honestly.
So what's the name? And look, this was a very bad movie year for me, so I saw nothing, but I'm gonna ask questions.
Yeah,
was
same.
Will Smith was and concussion. Will Smith was that decent? Was that good?
I saw it. I thought it was
because
it got
a Golden Globe nomination, right?
It did.
Uh-huh. So the nominations for Best Actor are Bryan Cranston for Trumbo, which I didn't see that movie, so I can't speak to that.
We'll come back to that one.
Matt Damon for The Martian, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Revenant, which he's going to win. Sorry. Michael Fassbender, Steve Jobs.
For The Big Short. Oh, for the... Okay, Steve Jobs.
And then Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl.
Okay, so what I would say is that the Bryan Cranston is amazing as an actor, but I think that is a case of Hollywood rewarding Hollywood because it's about Trumbo. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they're covering a subject about themselves, which is why they awarded that. But
no, I agree. The film that Hugo won all the awards because it was about
Hollywood
filmmaking.
It's like whatever. So anyway.
Okay, so that actually puts it in perspective for me, because really going into this conversation, I was saying I don't believe that it was nomination worthy. What I really meant by that in my mind, now thinking about it, it's not winning worthy. Like, there was no chance he was ever going to win for Best Actor.
But I agree
with
that,
too. I
don't
even know if the argument is this year. I think people are still frustrated about last year, Selma and other movies.
Yeah, that let us make a song about a movie. They're going to probably had a weekend who's nominated. They're like, you can sing for us, though. You ain't going to get our trophy.
But y'all's main point of contention, and I don't mean to say y'all's, but...
You can say it.
Okay. I said it.
You all, your peoples.
Okay. The African... Because I don't have... Obviously, this is not... This is angst that I'm finding out about in this moment.
Sure.
The angst is not so much that the snubs this year were just so outlandish that this put over the edge. It's more so the consistency of a lack of roles given to African-American actors that have the potential to win these nominations.
Yeah, it wasn't no slave movie this year, so who was going to get nominated? Like, did you see that Daily Show piece?
No, I didn't.
Oh my goodness, they talked about it. Like, the only way Creed would have got nominated is if he was it was called Freed, and he was running. Like, they broke it, and it's true though. Like, the only way we get nominated for stuff is if it's stuff
is based upon black pain and black struggle.
Black pain, black struggle, things that make white people say, "Oh, we got to give them something that made us feel bad." So like,
would you say Straight Outta Compton falls into that, like, black pain, black struggle?
I would.
So I wouldn't say that necessarily. Okay. No, but I could understand the case being made for that. The thing that's interesting about Straight Outta Compton is that the only nomination it got was for screenwriting, I think, which is interesting because it's largely white people who are behind that. Well, Cube was one of them, but it's a host of white writers as well.
And it's based on a true story. So the writing.
But no, but that's super. Honestly, I think that makes it harder because there's a bunch of different stories around what happened in that real life. That's why I think The Social Network was super interesting, because there's a bunch of narratives that Aaron Sorkin had to tie together to say, okay,
speaking
this will
of
be
a snub, Sorkin got snubbed
for the job.
For the Jobs piece.
But I would say the reason why I would say it is black pain and suffering is because
of the focus of the music. And
The focus of, I would say if it's not a slave movie, it's usually biopics.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that they all somewhat reflect all these movies. I can't think of one. I mean, usually biopics, they generally follow the monolith of, you know, struggle or like
How do you deal with racism? And then triumph
or overcome something. Like, how are you overcoming some sort of struggle, pain, obstacle? And then
we can't be regular.
You become victorious, right?
Right.
And so I feel like that's what Straight Outta Compton was. It's talking about oppressive states in inner city neighborhoods.
So
and
this
these
was
young
the...
men who overcome these obstacles to become revolutionaries, I guess. To some people.
This was the biggest snub to me, in my opinion.
What's this?
Was Straight Outta Compton?
Oh.
The fact
well,
that
it's not, and so what I'm saying, it's not just this year. I think it's the historical, it's the consistency from which the Academy always leaves out great black performances or films, and they reward the same type of movie every year. It's like Trump, like these movies are the same movies.
Yeah,
it's like I've seen this movie 8 times. It's just different. It's his buddy played it last year. It was Clooney who played this one. Like, or it was. Like The Martian, when I saw that film, I was like, it's almost like you can know, like, when somebody wrote this, like, look, we're trying to run an Oscar with this.
Yeah.
It's like, so we have to cast a Damon type. And it's just, we gotta pull at the heartstrings of some American, like, institution.
It's Castaway.
American institution.
It's a version of Castaway.
And it's like, oh, come on. Like, but the problem, other problem is I think African Americans have to take some of the onus in the sense that we don't usually take the risk to make those like great films. Like, I think I think what we do is we appease the Academy in ways, so we always run to the slave movie or we run to the biopic.
What like, so you mean talking about like in wait, who, what do you, when you say we appease them, in what way? Like, you're saying like the movies that we pick,
the movies that we watch, the directors,
we...
some of the like the known directors that are getting the budgets to make these types of movies.
And okay, so that's where I feel like it's more complicated, right? Because I view the Oscar thing as reflective of problems long before it gets to the Oscars, right? This has to do with who's putting up money and what's being greenlit. And then who is out there available, right? And who gets chosen, right? There's so many decisions that go in. There's tons of black directors who are just like, I would love to direct this. They don't necessarily get attached to that script being able to do it. You know what I'm saying? And where I do think we could take ownership is, and it works to varying degrees, but I do think it requires a lot of like black celebrities with the capital, with the money to say, we are going to fund putting this movie out.
Well, that's what
we
I
did
think
that with Annie.
That's what
it right, did. And so it didn't turn out well, but we did that with,
well,
but I like the effort.
It didn't turn out well.
We did with what?
Annie.
Oh, okay.
But it didn't turn out well in this. What do you mean it didn't turn out well? Like the return on investment didn't turn out well?
The ROI didn't turn out well, as well as it wasn't really a good movie, but it wasn't a good remake. You liked it?
It wasn't for me to like. My daughter loves it.
Okay, and that's like, cool. Her friends love that's
it.
Great.
So, like, that's what I'm saying.
That's great.
Like, so I would say it was worth it. I would say the fact that
I think it's worth it. The attempt to do it,
it shows that it's possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get, and so that's what I agree with Jada. I think, amen. Mm-hmm. There's parts of me that are so nationalistic. I think we need to start owning our own stuff, celebrating our own stuff, supporting our own stuff. I watch I watch Roland Martin way more than I watch anybody else. Not necessarily because not me. Roland Martin even if he's not on point, at least he brings people on that I think are going to challenge.
Roland Martin came to me one time on Twitter.
You've never seen an ass before?
Yo.
You never seen an ass guy before?
I remember when he came.
Roland Martin came to me one time on Twitter. He ain't got no love in these streets for Roland Martin. Him and his ass cock can kick rocks.
I do remember that. Yeah, that was funny.
I mean, if you like Deacons. He's just a deacon he's intelligent.
Yes.
But he's a deacon.
With fox hairs on top of his head.
But what I'm saying is, combed over. The problem is that we won't support him, but we'll run and get mad at Megyn Kelly or Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon. What I'm saying is, like, why don't we start supporting our stations or our stations that reflect more of our culture and our audiences, and then from there making those better instead of trying to infiltrate systems and structures that we know aren't made for us. And I'm talking about those structures that don't mean, like, luxury structures. I'm not talking about, like, things
injustice.
that we need to survive. I'm talking about like Academy Awards and Grammys. Like, look, you have enough influence to create our own Grammys. We have enough influence to create, but the thing is we don't really believe that our sugar is as sweet as the white man's sugar. As at the end of the day, that's the problem.
So yeah. I think one of the most interesting points is, like, every year you'll have it's for sure John Legend performing a song, like, you know, yep. It's like African American hosts, performers, and obviously very little nominations. Mm-hmm. So, would you call on actors, hosts to not support it?
Spike Lee said he boycotted it.
No, I mean, okay, Spike Lee is going to boycott it.
He did. That's he's going to boycott it.
But does Chris Rock boycott it?
No, and he shouldn't. He should go in.
Yo, you know Chris Rock is going to have that's all what I'm about to say. The jokes.
They don't know what they just did.
No, I don't think anybody should I don't call for people to boycott anything. I think people should live the life they want to live. But what I am saying is don't complain about the Oscars when you don't support Black institution or the Black attempt to create an alternative voice. That's my thing. Like, people will get mad at CNN by how they're consistently berating CNN. It's like, oh, you guys are just... But I'm like, well, what other options are there for us, and are you supporting those other options? And no, they don't, because we're so inoculated by the greatest luxury, which is what mainstream media or what mainstream offers, and we don't want it unless it's that. And we're going to have to build stuff from the ground, and that's a lot harder done than said. And I think the Academy and what Jada Pinkett is saying, and she's saying, is there's some truth in that. It's so, like, we have to
go and support the Tyler Perry plays. And
look, my thing is, I don't love Kevin Tyler Perry, but I appreciate what he's doing. But what we need is other people who can create Tyler Perry's book, create better product, or a different alternative. Like, there have been some good movies done by Black folks in the independent circles, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to support those. We got to begin to.
But see, that's my thing too. We do have to support those. I'm not saying we don't, but a lot of these movies that get nominated are these kind of independent white movies that don't get a lot of support. But they're like, oh, that's a great performance.
Sure,
you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, well, because I've seen some good Black movies that are independent. But you'll never hear about it until they're on Netflix. You're like, wait, why wasn't this nominated? The Danish Girl. You know what I mean? Like,
so I think that has to do with representation of, and Dan, you could weigh in on this, but I think with Hollywood in general is that, like, one, movies are on a downturn regardless. And so unless they can bank on a major comic suit, like with a built-in superhero type thing,
Legacy Star Wars.
They know they can make international money, mm-hmm. then the only other option that they go with are these darling pet projects that they're like, we know we'll get critical acclaim for this, right? Because we're not necessarily sure that, like, that's the only way you could justify David O. Russell getting okayed for that Joy movie, which I'm like, good God, why?
Well, even The Revenant, to an extent, they took a lot of risk. I mean, it's not that
that's traditional, probably not gonna make their money.
You're right. They're not gonna make all their money back or get really the return that good. I haven't seen it yet, but I definitely want to see that movie.
It's good.
I definitely want to see it. But I love Alejandro. Was it Alejandro Iñárritu?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dope.
And he got snubbed too. Because he did the screenplay.
For best director?
No. He wrote this. He did the screenplay. Gotcha. The screen adaptation.
My issue is that, like, you expand the best picture joint for to allow 10 nominations. I think they did 8 this year.
They did 3.
Or 7.
8. They did 8.
Right. And that's where I'm like, okay, you had the option to have movies that did well box office wise, right? Like Straight Outta Compton, which I don't think should win best picture. Or Creed, but I'm like, these movies should have garnered nominations in that way. And that's what bothers me. I think is it Carol? Is that the one that got left off? That's another, like.
Yeah, Carol is the one that's probably the biggest one that kind of mass, like national media is saying it was a snub, like, as well. And I think people are saying that it's all about a lesbian couple that these two women kind of come together, and then the husband of one of the couple kind of like plays the evil guy that kind of gets in the way of their relationship. Yeah. And I haven't seen the movie, so.
Got you. I think the other thing, like the Oscars, like you said, it's like 92-93%
94% I think it was.
White. And then I think it's 95%. Well, no, okay. So I think it's 90. I think it's 95% white, and then 92% male, or something. Yeah. Something super skewed. And then like the average age is 60 up or whatever.
Yeah,
67 up. And so that's why you get one. That's why you get like them honoring young women often, but not young men don't get honored. Jennifer Lawrence has what, 3 nominations? Yeah. Has won 2 Academy Awards for best whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's never a man who's super young who wins any of those things. The Oscars notoriously is like 20 years behind recognizing people past their prime or whatever. It's certainly men in that regard. It's just, it's backwards on a lot of different levels.
For sure.
Overall, what do you think about the movies that got nominated?
I mean, again, there's always, for me, I mean, you always have the 3... or generally have the 3 that are like really well done, but also very popular, kind of like the Mad Maxes, the Martians, the Bridge of Spies.
Was Mad Max
is genius.
Was that nominated?
Yeah.
Yes,
I actually liked that film. That drum was really good. I was so shocked how good that
is. It's the only English film in history that you don't have to speak English to understand without subtitles.
Wow. Yeah, that's dope.
I mean, it's amazing. It's genius. There's like, I mean, I'm making up a number here, but like 500 panels in the storyboard, there's 500 shots in the movie.
Oh, okay. I saw people talking about that. I didn't know that was the one they said. Spotlight is amazingly dope too, actually.
Which hasn't been doing well financially, but is nominated in a very well done film.
But is it that those Spotlight is one of those films that in the big, what is it, the big
Short. Big Short?
Yeah, those kind of movies that I'm like, yeah, those are like walk in nomination movies, because it's like when you get Redford, when you get like you get these
Michael
Rufios
Keaton
and,
you
get these folks, the Pitts, and these folks on a cast is like, oh, you're gonna get a nomination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's like they're tailor made to be nominated, but you know.
So I think that a lot of the movies are good. The Martian really is that good. Now, was David wrong in saying that it is Castaway but on Mars? No.
Yeah.
Matt Damon is a genius.
I love Matt Damon.
He plays that kid like he is. That role was outstanding. Like his performance was outstanding. Now, is the movie revolutionary? Did you not know the end of the movie, like from moment one of the like start of the credits? Like, no, you knew what was gonna happen. It was Apollo 13 meets Castaway.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks was pissed he didn't play the role.
Love Tom Hanks too.
But it was really good. I mean,
can we talk Star Wars?
Yeah.
Have y'all ever seen Star Wars?
I've never seen one Star Wars.
Really?
In my whole life.
Shame.
I saw it. Yep.
Like, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you 4 characters.
I'm not really. Are you serious? Is this real right now?
I'm being so 100% serious. I've never seen.
Why? Like, you're just not like a sci-fi person?
No,
you just,
I remember watching.
You intentionally? Are you one of those people
I remember having this discussion with a friend of mine. It had a lot. No one ever introduced it to me. You know?
I want to have a conversation with like an extreme Star Wars nerd about
have
this.
Have you not listened? There's this podcast called Film Rant. And we have it's been put on pause until we find another suitable host to take the reins of said podcast. Word. Isaac Dietz is probably going to take the reins, but we'll see what happens.
Word. So is Isaac Dietz, is he the stalwart? Or
no,
is he
no. The... we have a resident 4th District Star Wars expert, Drew, who loves Star Wars, and we did an entire episode with Drew. No. He lives in Charleston. He's an animator. We met online.
Oh, Drew
Fletcher.
Fletcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know him from Instagram. I mean, from Twitter. Amazing guy. Yeah. Great dude. He's been trying to move to Atlanta for the longest.
Yeah. Anyway, so we had him on.
So what does he do for, what does he do for?
He's an animator.
He does the graphics?
No. He just does nothing. I'm joking and saying that he's the resident Star Wars expert, but that's what he, whenever there's a Star Wars movie, I call him and we talk about it.
No, okay. Whenever there's a Star Wars movie, so you
got
like,
we had like 10 years ago, six conversations with
him like 6 years or 6 months ago when the first trailer came out, and then we talked.
Yeah. No, three I just weeks ago. But yeah, no, oh, I just okay. I've seen Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is amazing.
I've seen Spaceballs. I've never seen. I heard they're redoing that.
Are they?
Yeah, I heard they're redoing that.
Comb the galaxy.
But Star Wars. I couldn't name you five characters.
You could.
No, really, I couldn't.
Name me five characters.
All right. I know there's Darth Vader.
Okay. You said his name right, too. That's something impressive.
Darth Vader. Not Dark Vader. I know.
Yeah, okay.
The only reason why I know it's Darth Vader is because I have a fear of James Earl Jones. The voice. I have a fear of his voice.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I know that anyway.
You know he was never credited in Star Wars?
I'm not surprised. Anyway. That's so deep. That's America.
I went back and I looked. He was never. You still will not see him credited as the voice.
That's crazy. All right. Wow. There's a Skywalker. I don't know if it's Luke or Anakin. I don't even know who
that's
those.
Two, right that's there. Two characters.
That's two characters. All right. So that's three right there. Luke and Anakin.
A Chewbacca.
Come
there
on.
There you go.
I know that exists.
And a small green man.
Oh, yeah. Yoda.
Yeah.
So you gotta know more. You know
Princess Leia because of the...
Okay.
And but my thing is, I don't know the relationship the to what? Each other because of the hair thing.
Uh-huh.
And Harrison Ford play who?
A Skywalker, right? Did he play one of the Skywalkers? I literally don't know. What did he play? Solo.
Hans Zimmer.
This is the thing. You can say those names. I don't know their relationship to each other
but
at
you
all.
Know Obi.
Okay, so let's get to the movie.
Trice, no name. Obi Trice.
Yes.
No name. Don't give.
I love it.
Yeah, I know that. I know Obi Trice. Shout out to 313.
I don't know. I just like talking about this movie with people. I just want to hear what people's thoughts and perspective.
I think it's wildly overrated.
Okay, good.
I think that
I kind of felt the same way.
That if you're a huge Star Wars fan, they put Han Solo, they put Leia in the movie, so everyone's like two thumbs up. And I mean, it was okay. It was good. Mm-hmm. But like it wasn't in any way it's the fourth best Star Wars film.
Yeah. That's not easy. I mean, that's not hard though. Like to be the fourth best, that's not really that hard.
Yeah. I think it was a good movie. I think what people loved about it was that it played on the nostalgia of what
that's
they remembered
exactly.
about
yes.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
And I think that's J.J. Abrams' like secret weapon. Like I think the reason why he gets these because he can do other directors. You know what I'm saying?
What he did with the little kids and it was Goonies.
Super 8.
Really
you know what I'm saying? Like, he can do Spielberg.
Yes.
He can do like
exactly.
everybody else.
He's
and I think
the mimic
that's
director.
What's dope.
He's like the mimic
But I think it's talent. Like I think that is talented. Oh, I just think it's not unique
that
talent.
That's that's a great way to put it. He's a great mimicker. Because when I remember watching Super 8, I was like, yo, this is just this is E.T. and Goonies in a film. But so when I saw the movie, I was highly underwhelmed. But because of the nostalgia, I was like, yo, this is New Hope. And they've done it. He's done an amazing job in recreating New Hope. So I walked away like, eh. But what turned me around was I started watching all these, you go on YouTube and you start watching the nerds kind of explain the movies away. And I was like, they made me like the movie more from their explanations.
Sure.
And I was like, this is kind of dope. They're explaining stuff that I'm not really, I didn't really think through. And so I'm kind of on the fence. I don't want to say it's a terrible movie because it wasn't like I didn't enjoy myself in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was entertained. Oh, but for sure. Everything, there was nothing that was a surprise to me at all.
So
is what I'm saying.
My biggest problem talking about this is actually on topic. They made the one black character that they've ever put at the front of Star Wars a like smiling buffoon. Like from the moment once that like he sees this girl and he just like can't speak, like it's just like he's not the brave character I wanted him to like be, and even the trailers made him out to be. He becomes that by the end of the movie,
right?
And you see that transformation, and maybe that's what they were shooting for, so on and so forth. But like the way that he falls like goo goo eyed in love with homegirl, mm-hmm. like at the beginning of the movie, I was like, I hated
the thing
that.
That pissed me off that most about that film is after he did all that for her, he got a hug. That brother didn't even get a kiss.
He should have smashed. He should have been able to smash. Bro,
no, like, this brother got a hug.
Ladies, you don't have to do. Listen, your body is yours, and nobody. You owe nothing to no man.
Even sometimes, yes means no.
No.
I was talking to one of my homeboys, bro. Shout out to Adam Thompson, AT. We were talking about the film on the phone. Yeah, no, we were both on the phone. It was funny the thing we both were like, yo, I don't understand what happened is when that brother got a hug. We were both like, yo, I felt the same way. I was like, after all that, I'm going to get a hug. And so, but honestly, I think that speaks to the tension in series, right? Because you can't give this heroic white girl a kissing scene with this brother like in Star Wars.
What year are we in where that's still a thing?
That's what I'm saying. Like it's crazy. We get Cheerio commercials with
mixed race kid. Yeah, y'all gonna eat Cheerio together. But
and so that kind of like I lost a little respect for the franchise.
This is a part
that.
Like they're gonna be more of these, right?
Yeah
but with that,
these two, it's all set up.
So maybe you know the next one. I don't know.
I think there's some great qualities about Finn. And he's the black character in the movie.
John Boyega.
Yo, he was my dude. Like in the block, Attack the Block.
Attack the Block.
And I didn't even know that was him until like 2 weeks before Star Wars came out.
Yeah. I mean, if for no other reason, like having him do press was like the joy
that was
of
dope.
Watching this.
Yeah,
this movie come to life.
He's definitely endearing in press. Like I was like, yo, he's dope. But he's definitely a great actor because I would never have thought like Moses from Attack the Block would be Finn in Star Wars. That's a total transition. Dope actor.
Yeah.
But what I will say is there's, and these are spoilers, so if you haven't seen the movie, which 50, they've made billions, so you've seen it.
Somebody, yeah. I'm the only one in here.
And you don't care anyway, so it doesn't
It's not that I don't care, but I don't.
But
I'm
I think
not
there's something special to say about him that there's something innately strong that makes him, I guess you could say, retreat from the stormtrooper duty, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say everything about him was somewhat coonish. I will say that those
it really
things
is the love. It's really the love, like the way he falls for her so immediately. And just the way that
he's childish. What they're trying to communicate is that stormtroopers in general are like these mindless creatures or human beings that.
Well, I think here's the reading of it that I thought was more like that. I think is debatable for whether or not this is true, but like it, I think the part of it that it was introduced by J.J. Abrams was this idea of, like, we got a personality behind some of these stormtroopers, which we never, in the history of the franchise, we never knew, right? And so there's some people who read it, and I don't read it this, like, closely like this, but some people who read him as that a statement on, like, slavery in a way, right? Yeah. Because you have these people who are drafted into, or who just reared up into duty. This is what they're supposed
stolen.
To do.
They were stolen.
Right.
From their families.
Stolen from their families. And like they have, and even to this extent, this is the part that I thought was kind of telling, like even to the extent that Finn isn't, his name was given to him in the movie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and the way that of course parallels slavery in that light, you know what I mean? But I think that just in general about his perspective in what you're talking about, Dan, is like his lightheartedness, like I found that largely affable. I found that like I didn't find that as like coonish or setting us back in a way or anything like that.
Interesting.
I just read it like this is an everyman type of guy who literally has who was who is a stormtrooper, you know, who's in that role, but clearly had reservations about being that, and that in his arc in that story is kind of conquering that fear.
So let me juxtapose this real quick, because I just want to speak to what you just said. I agree with you. But if you hold him up to Han Solo, if you look at Han Solo at the beginning of New Hope and his evolution through the following two movies, 4, 5, and 6, he is exactly what Finn is. He is this guy who doesn't want conflict, that doesn't want to die, that wants to survive. But at the same time, when it comes to his relationship with Leia, he's confident and he's kind of this like pirate of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I think that they give Finn, like, they give him that pirate, that same kind of pirate, like, potential, but then, like, demote him to this, like, you just can't, you would never be self-confident, despite the fact that, like, he could have been the next Han Solo in the sense of, I want to survive, I want to run, I don't want to do, I think all those things are fine and part of character development, but the way that they, like, demote him in the sense of how confident he is in front of this female, it says a lot about who he is and the attitude that he has, and maybe you're right, maybe it's, it, I just...
No, I agree, but I do feel like, you know, I think at on some level, you got to create a character and allow them to develop. Sure. And I think what they're trying to make him to be is a more likable, I guess, like Adan said, he's an everyman in a different way that Han Solo is. Like, Han Solo can come off as a jerk oftentimes, that's right? True. And I think they're trying to make him more affable, as he said, like more likable, more of a endearing personality, so that you feel you empathize with him, and that as he grows and develops through this, he's a nicer, he's easier to cheer for, I guess you can say.
I gotta rewatch those two. I haven't seen the like
four, five, and six.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
I think what's obvious is the, and I don't want to say feminism because I don't want to make that like necessarily a bad thing, but I will say that it's obvious, and I think they're trying to make up for the lack of women in the first four films, or the first three films, because I rewatched the
original trilogy,
the original three, and literally I think other than Leia and aunt and the aunt, there were no women in the whole film. Like, literally, no women. And in Return of the Jedi,
I think there's one other woman. She's a general. There's one other woman. In the original? In the original, when they're attacking the Death Star.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's talking about how they acquired the plans.
Right. I do remember.
Okay.
But there's
so,
no women.
On one hand.
And then there's only two other black people that I can think of or remember in the rest of the trilogy, which is, you know, Mace Windu. Mm-hmm. And Landau. So the future doesn't look bright for minorities.
It's all better than
other galaxies.
It's all better than Jar Jar Binks. I'll tell you that much. All better.
And I am so upset that Lupita Jones gets, her character is dope, but I'm like, I was expecting to see her face for her to play a character. She played the sage, like the one who ran the tavern. So yeah, I mean, you know, so. Well, it's one of those situations that it's definitely going to be mildly, it's going to be wildly successful, and people are going to like it, and I'm definitely going to watch them because I'm not a nerd, but I definitely have, I grew up on the Star Wars trilogies, or the movies. I didn't like the 1 through 3. I definitely didn't like 1. I kind of like 3. 2 was like, but I love the latter 3. And this one was okay. You know, I saw everything coming. I literally saw everything coming. There was nothing that was a surprise to me.
Well, isn't it every other Star Wars like combined into one? Like, isn't it the trilogy? Like, you have a Death Star. You have, like, I feel like they just said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do everything.
Yeah,
in
I
one.
Think he was like, just F George Lucas. We're starting a whole new thing, but we got to start from where like from scratch. So this next one is really going to be make or break. It's like, let's see what you do with your own kind of narrative and what you do with Luke and this and Rey.
Is Rey Luke's daughter?
No, I don't think so.
Who do you think she is?
I think what I've learned Because I always thought that in order to have the Force, to be a Jedi, it had to be it's a family thing. But I've learned that you don't have to be. It's not a family thing. Right? Look at David. Learn this. Hey, this is
I don't know anything. I'm just sitting here just watching King's Dream actualize. That's all I'm doing. Look at these brothers and his white boy talking Star Wars. This is the dream. I'm just admiring it. Like, I don't need to speak. I'm watching history. I never thought I would see this. And so I'm just like, wow. Wow. It's happening right before my eyes. And he want to be like, hey, I'm not a nerd. Listen, if you talk a Star Wars, you can't. You just are. Just own it. But this is the dream realized.
No, you don't know the level of understanding that certain people
No, speak I do. Because I'm nowhere near that level. I'm hanging around comedians. There's a bunch of nerds. I know people who wanted to fight me because I said I never seen any of them.
So that's like me saying that I'm an academic on the level of like PhD stuff. I can't do that. So like,
okay,
I'm
I get what you're saying. Credit.
Like
I didn't want to stop the dream from happening.
Hey,
the only thing I want to say on top of that, and that we can get to this or not, is the fact that it's not number one no more because Kevin Hart took the number one.
He did.
That's all I'll say. Right, black money.
And Will Packer. That's black money.
Black money.
I just wanted to throw that
out there. But go ahead. I'm going to keep watching the dream.
I appreciate Will Packer. I appreciate Ride Along. I'll probably
HBCU.
Won't see it.
Shout out to FAMU. Yeah.
I'm excited to see this. There's another movie that was shot in Atlanta. Was it the 9-9? It's about the police, the corrupt police, and drug lords.
What about Donald Glover's new Atlanta?
I'm excited to see what that's going to be.
I'm trying to get in on that.
Have y'all seen, did y'all see the VH1 movie, the hip-hop joint?
I have not seen the hip-hop joint.
The Break, growing up, the Breaks.
The Breaks, you watched that?
I didn't, I don't have cables.
So I don't have either. So that's why I was like, dang, I want somebody.
Shout out to Fonte, little brother in Foreign Exchange.
Oh, yeah?
They were in there?
He wrote all the lyrics. Rap lyrics. That was him. Yep.
Yo, so that's something that's happening now is like there's a lot of hip-hop movies and films because Netflix is doing
Netflix is buying everything.
The Get Down's going to come out in August, which I'm extremely excited about, and it's based on hip-hop in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Spike Lee's doing Michael Jackson's new documentary.
He is.
That's cool.
He does good documentaries though.
He does.
That's one thing his movies have been questionable.
I haven't seen Chirac.
I haven't either, but
I still want to see
it. I've heard some people who defend it and they've made some good arguments. I've heard people on the other side beat it and kill it that they've made some reasonable arguments as well.
Yeah.
But The Get Down, The Breaks, mm-hmm. there's this Atlanta film that's done a Glover joint. I'm interested
to
see.
It's a show.
TV show.
Yeah, I mean it's a TV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only concern is Donald Glover is so, like, he's so interesting. Like, this can either be the greatest thing ever or it's going to be something that's extremely, like, emo.
Vile.
Yeah, like, it's like...
Vile emo.
I'm nervous about it because he's naming it Atlanta, but he not really Atlanta.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
He's not Atlanta.
So you're going to cut him out of Atlanta? You're not going
to... I always have. Every time he was like, oh, you from...
Stone Mountain.
I'm like, that's a far... You like... okay. Like,
but you call Jeezy Atlanta?
Jeezy?
Yeah.
Where's Jeezy from? Macon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but
look at you.
No. I'm not.
But you like Black Mafia family gives him enough credit to take over.
Now we gonna really put Jeezy out of Atlanta. You gonna put say that to
you
the microphone?
Say, you gonna say that to Meech?
You
ain't saying
that
to Meech?
You gonna say that to Meech? No. No. I love his body of work, but his whole aura is like it doesn't. The Atlanta, I don't know what Atlanta he's going to represent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's the emo kind of like progressive kind of. He's not your typical African American kid who grows up in Atlanta. He seems like LA, more LA than anything.
Yeah, and then he went to NY. Like his whole story doesn't say Atlanta, but I mean he's a smart dude.
Yeah, crazy gifted,
and writer.
Yeah,
super good writer.
I mean, amazing writer.
Yeah, so I'm like, it could work. I'm trying to be in it. To be honest with you, I don't know when they casting it, but
hey, come through,
come holler at me. I'm trying to make some stuff work.
But no, I'm excited. So this is what I'm excited. I'm excited more about TV shows than I am like film because I feel like that's where African American storytelling thrives nowadays. And honestly, you have more opportunity to tell because there's more writing. There's more. It's longer. It's longevity. Mm-hmm.
The future for us is Netflix, in my opinion. Yeah. Like
I'm still
Netflix
trying to figure out how they make money though.
I don't know because it ain't but three passwords out there. Everybody borrowed it. I don't know how they making money.
Man.
I know. Look,
hey, if you got that international password, holler at your boy. Because I'm trying to see what y'all watching.
That's
in
what
Europe.
I'm saying. Ain't but three of them, so I don't know how they making money.
They got a whole different type of Netflix, like what? Different movies. Yeah, like
yeah.
I went to Canada. There are certain things available in Canada that you don't get.
Yeah.
In America.
And then they're taking risk on programming.
Yeah, they just like opened up in India too, I think.
Right. Yeah. There's programming that like they watching in Europe that you. Cause I was born a British white dude, and I love British films. So I'm trying to figure out how to watch some more of that British stuff.
Speaking of, have you ever watched Black Mirror?
I heard somebody told me I haven't watched that.
Is it amazing?
It's a show. It's a mini.
I've seen it.
It's a mini series. Like, man,
Neither Netflix or Hulu. I saw it.
Netflix, likely.
Okay,
you will. It will warp your mind. It's amazing.
Somebody told me to watch Top Boy too. Have you ever seen Top Boy?
Yeah, I stay up on Top.
They almost told me that it was as good as The Wire, and I was like, I don't know if that's possible.
It's not. People pitch it that way because they don't know how else to describe it. But it has to do with the fact that there's two characters that have a relationship similar to Stringer and
that's what
and
I was told. Avon. Yeah.
But it's different. It's just based in a very poor part of South London or whatever.
So bricks.
And Drake is actually trying to buy Top Boy to bring it back because it's not scheduled to shoot another season or anything like that. So I hope the Canadian can do it.
Guy Ritchie's probably one of my favorite directors.
Have you seen How to Make a Murder or How to...
Watch that nonsense. So I just watched the first episode like today.
The first episode of first season?
First episode of How to Make a Murder. It's just one season. It's a
How to Make a Murder. You're talking about
no, not How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The Netflix joint that everybody's talking about.
Yeah. You're talking about Making a Murder.
Making a Murder.
Not How to Make a Murder.
It's Making a Murder. Yeah.
No, I heard it was crazy though. I'm gonna have to check it out.
Have you watched it?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard it's just like once you start, you won't stop.
Yeah, watching that first episode, I'm like, if this all happened in the first episode, I am not prepared for what is going on with this man's life.
The whole world talked about it, it has to be something.
It's crazy.
Well, I saw like the little overview of it, like of him, you know, him being accused of a crime, getting released from prison, and then being indicted again for a different crime.
But yeah,
when I was like, that's enough in itself.
Yeah. You get in, you're like, oh, okay, and then you're like, whoa, wait a second. Like, I didn't know they could.
I gotta
do
watch
this.
I listen to Serial, so
yeah, it's a visual Serial, but it's worse.
Serial, what is that?
Serial. The Serial podcast?
It's pretty like much the most killers? Famous.
No, it was on, what was it?
Show got so excited. Serial killers.
No, it's all good. Like, so Serial was the phenomenon last year. It was an offshoot of NPR's This American Life, and it is a long-form case in which, but it's a podcast, literally. And it's awful.
I think you told me about this before.
Likely so. But yeah, it was the fastest growing podcast in history, actually, because it's, I think, stretches over 13 episodes or whatever.
That was crazy.
But it's thoroughly riveting because you're just listening to this case unfold over time. They're now doing the second series, which I don't think is garnering as much attention because the case is more well known. It has to do with the guy who deserted or left his
post.
Yeah, overseas.
About Snowden?
No, but then he got taken. He got taken prisoner by ISIS or whomever, I can't remember. And then we had to do a exchange to get him out of that. And so, like me saying this, I know enough about this case. Right. Just I've never even heard it, but I didn't hear an episode. But this was already news, right? And so, but now they're covering it like in greater detail. And so, I'll check it out at some point. But yeah, Serial, you should definitely check that out. But
yeah, check that out.
Making a Murderer is. I'm not prepared for what's about to happen over the next nine shows.
Check it out. I'll check that out.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm buying my time to start it because I don't have time to finish it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but I just missed my window of time, and I spent it on. I watched the first season of The Wire again, which I don't regret one bit,
because
it's amazing, and it made me realize how good it really is. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, you watched the first season when it first came out, like a long time ago, and then you watched the other one. But to go back and watch it again, you're like, this was genius.
Yeah.
And then I watched Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Okay,
I watched all Marvel things on Netflix.
And I was surprised how much I liked it.
Yeah. I like Daredevil. I like Daredevil Jessica Jones. Like, they doing it.
Yeah.
Over on Netflix.
It was pretty fresh.
They doing it. Real quick.
Was you telling me to wrap it up?
Yeah, Frankie.
Well, I want to keep talking.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, because we started talking about the Oscars, are you going to watch the Oscars? You gonna watch the Oscars? Anybody gonna watch?
I never watched the Oscars.
I will watch Chris Rock.
I just go back and watch the like clips that I need to watch.
That makes sense. I always have this fun game I play, how many black people in a room. So I play that with any award show.
You do The Source too, and like BT Awards.
Those are the most fun. It's called a good drinking game. No. No, but yeah, I'll watch it. I just think it's set up perfectly for Chris Rock to just destroy everything about what that is.
I do want to see The Revenant though.
Do you think he goes in?
Here's why I know it. The last thing I saw Chris Rock host was the BET Awards, and to see him literally not care about what they like. I remember there was something that happened. He was like, "Oh, this microphone don't work. This BET." Like he said that. He don't care no more. He's like, "You can't touch me, because if y'all take my movies, people will come see my stand up." He didn't seem. He's like, "Oh, Dave Chappelle needed the Chappelle Show to sell out." He's like, "I'm good. Like you can't hurt me." So he say whatever he want to say. I wouldn't be surprised if he go off book. Like nothing, you can't. Yeah, you can't be that blue brother can't be tamed right now. I think he will. I think there'll definitely be a moment where like, oh man, they should have never gave him a microphone.
Yeah, and, I think they made a mistake.
Because especially after the whole Oscar So White, exactly. He only said a little bit. Like you know what I mean? As a comedian, like, oh, he's trying not to step on jokes that he's got. You know what I mean? So the only thing he tweeted out was like, it was some like bland tweet about Oscar So White or whatever. And I was like, oh okay, I see what you're doing there, Chris. Cause he's very active on social media, but like for ever since that came out, he's kind of been like real chill. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, you setting him up? Oh, you setting him up? So yeah, I'm definitely.
Or he got a call and said, you ain't getting a paycheck.
Chris Rock don't need that. He don't like what can they? He don't need that. You know what I mean? Like that's not.
I hope you're right. I genuinely hope you're right.
He's gonna get paid.
Yeah, he's gonna get paid.
I think he'll definitely go there. I think it's interesting because when he hosted it before, if you remember, there was like talk about how it wasn't like some people were talking about how it wasn't good. Like I think a lot of people were really like, "Yo, I'm glad to see Chris Rock up there." And I think he was hosting the year that Eddie Murphy was up, and that. It was like the most black Oscars, like in terms of whatever. I think they realized. So he went up and they were like, oh, he probably won't get another call, because it took a lot for them to not use stereotypical like Billy Crystal or someone that they're really used to. And then they realized, oh, it's really hard to do that. Like, because they weren't crazy about Family Guy dude. Seth MacFarlane. Did Neil Patrick Harris do it?
I think so.
He did 2 years, I think. Like
Ricky Gervais did it. Didn't he do it 1 year?
He did Golden Globe. He does the Golden Globe.
And like, he is hilarious.
But he always.
I can't stand Ricky Gervais.
It always goes ups and down with him.
I hate Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, he just says whatever.
He killed everyone.
He'll go in, but like.
He killed Matt Damon and then. Yeah. I mean, not Matt Damon, but Ben, what's his name?
He came.
Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
Ben Affleck. Matt Damon's the only guy, only person Ben Affleck hasn't cheated on, apparently.
Yeah. I just don't like him as a stand-up. I think he's, I don't know, I remember watching some documentary. It was like him, Chris Rock, Louis C.K.
and Jerry Seinfeld. And I'm what are you doing there?
Why are you, and then he started talking about comedy. We were just like, you could tell they were like, who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, why are you for some reason though?
Yeah, so, but no, we talking about stand up.
Here's why, because it was his idea. It was his idea. Put that together.
Yeah, and he talked too much.
So yeah, and you're like, oh, that's why you got a seat.
Yeah, I love The Office.
But that's how you do it.
British and otherwise. That's what you but still, do. But yeah, no, I'm definitely watching.
Extras was dope too.
Yeah, I'm definitely watching the Oscars though, just to see what Chris Rock does.
Well, any last thoughts? Last words?
Yeah, I'm just glad we got to talk about the water crisis in Flint. That's dope.
Yeah, don't drink the water in Flint.
Detroit Michigan is falling apart.
Yeah.
Well, just really, not for long. Just Flint and Detroit.
Not
really.
For long. Last time I was in Detroit, I saw a white girl riding a bicycle.
That story you told about that white girl disappeared. And skipped away and started skipping away.
Oh, I said, what do you do? She said, whatever I want, and just skipped away.
That bug was the best story
what?
Ever.
That was amazing. I was like, where did it make you?
She was on that white.
But yeah, no, it's coming back.
I was like, what kind of happy juice was she
on? Man, it was 9 a.m.
She said the best of happy juice.
Yeah, white. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right, that's it. We got to go. Thank y'all for listening. We got like two,
what you got coming
3-hour
up?
Podcast now.
You promote anything? Anybody got anything coming up? Anybody doing anything?
I got a lot of amazing things happening, but I can't speak to any of them right now until they are 100%. Solidify.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I just hope whatever you do, I just hope it's mixed. You know, that's what I hope. So it's mixed.
I just hope it happens by 2020.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen by 2020.
Nah, what do I have? I don't know what I got coming up. I've got some performances and some studio and some stuff with Dan I'm doing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. What? Staying busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dan getting folks jobs ain't getting me no job.
I'm trying to make you a job. It's called FourthDistrict.com.
There we go.
Give me some jobs, Dan.
There it is. Where you at?
What I got coming up? The 28th, I'll be at Highland Ballroom, mm-hmm. Closing out Schlitz and Giggles. Mm-hmm. And then February 11th, 12th, and 13th, I'll either be in Greenville, South Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, or Charlotte, North Carolina, with Damon and Nate from 4th and 10th.
That's what I'll promote. February 7th, I'll be in Greenville.
Yeah.
At same spot, actually, Coffee Underground.
Coffee Underground, great
and
spot.
And then February 11th, I'll be in Roswell. So,
yeah. Where in Roswell?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I will let you know. I'll let the world know. Follow me on Twitter, Adam Bean, ADANBEA.
February, you can probably catch me in the class in Tuskegee teaching some classes.
Maybe.
And maybe this album that's going to drop. Maybe. I got this. Actually, I have an event that I will pub on the next off the record.
Why would you wait? We don't even know if this happened. It might have passed already.
February 27th.
Hopefully, we're in the studio again.
A new social political movement is being birthed. And to talk about urban politics from a Christian perspective.
But that's not Creative Conversations. When is that?
Creative Conversations happened last Thursday of every month.
Oh, word.
But we're not going to do it in February, though.
Okay, but we are doing it in January.
Wait a minute. You're not going to do it in February.
Nah, I was thinking
the holiest of months.
Can we do Black History Month in January? Is that cool?
I celebrate it year round.
Let's do it. That's what we're doing. Instead of business, we're going to do Black History Month.
But that's what's up.
Let's do it. Come on.
So this month.
Is your brother a professor?
He is a professor.
What is he a professor of? What does he teach?
He be professing mad things, man.
He's a mad professor.
Mad professor. He can profess like crazy. Whatever you need to profess, he can profess.
Well, not your professor.
Get that brother to come and profess some things at Creative Combo. All right, that's it. We got to go. Thank y'all for listening. God bless you. Good night. When the curtains open, and I'm the maestro for the certain moment, trying to take it sky high, so go alert the stoners. Fear got your guy almost on the verge of blowing it. Bravos, I hear the hand claps. And I know that this here could be my last chance. And I can't ever remember having this chance last. And in this second, this moment here will be past tense. Man, I'm past tense. I'm on the edge of a classic, but slacking. Got me on the edge of a has-been, too passive. Gotta snatch this moment before I pass it. And face this test like Steve Nash and pass it. I will not be crippled. Cast loaves in the oceans. Gotta see ripples. Excuses are useless. Tools that the fools pick. Only got one shot. But it feels like a full clip. This one moment, patiently waiting in line just to get on it. These players hating on me, I gotta let it go. Put me in the game, coach, I got some better goals. This game so foul, it's sort of pitiful. Tell your people go and grab a stone and get a free throw. And let them know, I love the Lord. But sometimes it's like that, I love me more. Seek his applause, break all your laws. We tear the roof off, homie, we don't need no doors. So now, I stand on top of this. Fear. I have strength in my esophagus. Hear me roar like a young lion. A team called Iron, a product from new science. My confession ain't no fear in me now. Just like an usher, it's my job to move crowds. Once upon a time, I lived in a world that was bound by fear. Escaped his hold, now life's reset. Then I was given grace to break the enemy's net. It's time for the conquerors. Oh, it's my turn? Excuse me, the monster's up. Foe slaying, cruising in this monster truck.
truck. It's no playing, giving bruises in this Tonka truck. My circle's where the riders is. A couple Paul and Silas is, and Leonidas is. Kinda sickening how bold this virus is. No sniffling, but so cold like sinuses.
Make room for the misses, the crew full of misfits. Peruse your policies and hack through ISIS. Intrude your embassy, sneak food to your listeners. Pilots, provisioners, and suicide bombers. Musical monsters, martyrs, quick to die for resigner. Yeah, this is our moment. We're facing our fear, cause faith has appeared. So baby, we'll take it from here.